This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dr. Kelly Victory with us now for this next hour as well. Again, any questions you've got for us, be sure to text us, 307-200-8222, 307-200-8222. And Dr. Kelly, kind of a recap of the first hour for folks that maybe just joining us now for this second hour. We talked a lot about, you know, what do you do for prevention if you've already had the vaccine or you don't have any choice but to get the vaccine? And I wanted to dovetail into that and ask you, if there are people out there listening that have no choice, there's no other way for them to make money. I've got folks that text us on a regular basis that, you know, work for the government contracts. There's going to be things that they just don't have any choice if they want to keep their job but to get a vaccine. If you didn't have any other choice but to get one, what would you do?
It's such a tough question.
I know.
If I truly had no, if I had no choice, I guess, first of all, again, this is my personal opinion. If I were forced to get one, I would get J&J, because although I think they all are problematic and all have been associated with significant and very worrisome numbers of adverse events, I think that the J&J, is perhaps the least risky of the three.
Okay.
Because it's not this mRNA. So start with that. I would probably try to offset, if I could, some risk of clotting issue, blood clotting, by taking an aspirin a day.
Okay.
And again, I'm not giving any individual a recommendation.
Right. That's right.
I don't know any individual's medical history, but I can say what I would do for myself is I would take, because I don't have any contraindication to taking aspirin, I would take an aspirin a day as a blood thinner. And then I would continue to do the things that I'm already doing, which is take supplementing vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, and quercetin along the way, in addition to then eating a healthy diet and regular exercise and those sorts of things. So I guess the two things I would say, I would get the J&J vaccine, and I would take an aspirin to try to offset as much as possible any issues related to blood clotting that's been associated with those vaccines.
So, Alex Berenson just sent out an email, because he can't tweet anymore because he got pulled off of Twitter for basically saying a lot of the same things that we're saying on a daily basis. And what's interesting about him is he wasn't necessarily a, you know, anti-COVID anything in the beginning, but he just started looking through, like us, he started looking through data and trying to figure out what was going on, and soon realized that, wait a minute, time out, something doesn't smell right here, and I need to start talking about this. So he did. He started tweeting about it, and before you know it, he is kicked off of Twitter, Dr. Kelly, because of the things that you and I are talking about now on a regular basis. But he just came out and said something that says, take it from a little place I call the British government, which admitted today in its newest vaccine surveillance report that the N antibody levels appear to be lower in people who acquire infection following two doses of vaccine. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, there is mounting evidence that the vaccines may actually suppress the immune response following vaccination. So you not only then become at higher risk to contract COVID, but may become at significantly higher risk to contract other viruses, including influenza, going forward, because there does seem to be some suppression we are seeing in the overall immune response in those people who have been vaccinated. So again, this is one of those things where what you were told back in December, January, February, leading into this vaccine rollout and in trying to compel people to get vaccinated was, this is a miracle. Operation Warp Speed has been a tremendous success. We have launched these vaccines in a number of months where normally they take years and years and years, and it's going to prevent everybody from getting COVID. Get yours quick. Well, it turns out that they actually don't prevent you from getting COVID. And in fact, we have, again, a multitude of studies that show absolutely no correlation in the percentage of the population that is vaccinated and the case rates for COVID. So you are just as likely to get COVID, and even the CDC doesn't deny that now. You are absolutely just as capable of transmitting it to others. We have a bunch of studies that prove that the amount of virus that you have in your noses and throats, if you get COVID and you're vaccinated, people said early on, well, yeah, you might get COVID, but you'll have less virus, so you won't spread it as much as other people. Nope, sorry, that's not true either.
That's right.
So the question becomes, why is it worth it for you as an individual? And again, it gets back to that risk-benefit analysis, John. You need to determine, you meaning any individual to whom I'm speaking, you need to assess your own realistic risk from this virus. Your risk is different than mine. Mine is different from my colleagues. So you need to take into account your age, your sex, you know, your overall state of health, your underlying comorbidities, all of those things, and then weigh that against the risks from these vaccines. And taking into account that also that there are many, many available, safe, highly effective medications to treat this. So if my parents were living right now in their 90s in a nursing home, that my decision or my advice to them would be very different than it is for me.
Correct.
You have to remember, still, most people, people under the age of 50, healthy people under the age of 50, have a 99.98% chance of making a complete and full recovery if they get COVID, okay? That is a better recovery rate than if you were to get influenza.
That's right.
So, again, it's that risk-benefit. I'm not telling anybody don't get vaccinated. You need to determine where you fall on that risk-benefit calculation and make a determination. My concern is because of the fear-mongering, because of this nonstop fear porn that's been peddled, most people way overestimate their risk from COVID and way underestimate their risk from the vaccine. And that's a bad place to be. You cannot make this calculation, John, unless you have access to the true data and until you understand what your actual risk is from the virus and what your risk is from the vaccine.
Right.
So when I see people even thinking about vaccinating a child, it really makes me wonder what they have been reading.
Yes.
Yeah, what they have been led to believe.
Because
I have people saying, I can't wait to get my kids vaccinated. I'm thinking, oh, are they ill? Are they being treated for cancer? Do they have some underlying awful autoimmune disease? Or are they morbidly obese? Because unless they're one of those things, their risk from COVID is essentially zero. So why in the world you would submit them to the unknown risk from these vaccines? I mean, I will feel very differently 36 months from now, 48 months from now, if we're still talking about COVID vaccines. But until we have that data, the same data that I was able to evaluate for chickenpox vaccines, hepatitis vaccines, you know, HPV vaccines, all the other vaccines that I am out there promoting and telling people they should get, that's only because I've had the opportunity to look at 12-month, 24-month, 36-month, 48-month safety data, and none of that exists on these COVID-19 vaccines.
One last question before we take a break is regarding the Novavax product. Do you feel like it may not get approved or approved as quickly due to Pfizer controlling the market right now?
Yeah, I think it's highly political. Novavax is one that I would absolutely hold out for if I thought I could.
You're
talking about that possibly making it to market in December. To be clear, that uses a more traditional vaccine technology and I think is likely to be less fraught with issues. I don't, by the way, expect it to be any more effective, because, again, it's going to be very narrow. It's going to be,
right,
again, based, unfortunately, on a singular spike protein. But I will tell you, it is likely to have far, far less bad side effects. So, you know, I'd happily take a vaccine failure, have it be ineffective, and not suffer the horrific potential side effects. Will it be FDA approved? I fear that, as the caller is alluding, that the politics of it all, and by politics I mean largely money of it all, will keep it out of the mainstream, because Pfizer is controlling so much of the marketplace. I can certainly, only hope that it does, in fact, ultimately get FDA approved, particularly if they're going to continue down this insane road of vaccine mandates.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. First break. Keep texting 307-282-22, 307-282-22. Dr. Kelly Vitry with me as well. And we'll be right back. Affordable Ventures Mortgages next. Kurt Rogers will be joining me, by the way, at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, so in about 45 minutes. So if you've got questions for Kurt, by the way, on the market, interest rates, where things are headed, and so on, give us a call then, or text us even. In the meantime, anything you need from Kurt, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where our reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
The Absolute Advantage membership, which if you call right now and tell them you listen to Rush to Reason on KLZ, it's a $329 a year value free to you. Call 720-526-0231 or klzradio.com.
You don't need a new air conditioner. You just need to get rid of that dead rodent clogging up the wheel. The technicians at Absolute Electrical Heating and Air complete a thorough inspection before making any recommendations. They'll show you the photos to prove it. You know that feeling when you get a copy of a checklist that a technician supposedly completed, but you're not so sure? After a competitor told one customer they'd need a new air conditioner, Absolute came out for a second opinion. Once they opened up the unit, they found a dead rodent stuck in the wheel. They took a picture to show the homeowner. Then they got the rodent out. No new air conditioner needed. You can imagine how grateful the customer was to save thousands of dollars on an unnecessary replacement. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air includes photos in all of their reports, because you need to see for yourself that you can trust them. Call the team that has nothing to hide. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, and Dr. Kelly Vitry with us today. And Dr. Kelly, I wanted to talk, I've got a break here where we can do so, where there was an article that Charlie sent me yesterday that was in CNN, basically listing the, how do I want to call it, the 10 most, how do they read it? They take an oath to do no harm, but these doctors are spreading misinformation about the COVID vaccine, and they kind of list what they call their 10 most wanted, if you would, as far as those individuals they feel are spreading the most, how should I say this, that they don't agree with. They basically claim they're spreading misinformation, although this article goes on to say that there has been only one or two known vaccine, caused vaccine deaths that are out there. To me, I read that one line and thought, none of what I'm reading here is true, so should I even read any of it? But really, it's a big article talking about those folks like us that don't trust what's going on with the government and these vaccines.
Yeah, and this is really, really scary to me, John, because at all times, particularly in the time of a national crisis, a healthcare crisis, we have in the past always encouraged, really fostered robust, vigorous, respectful, but robust debate.
Right.
That is how we come to the best decisions, particularly in medicine. This has been absolutely
Dr. Kelly, real quick, I want to stop you for a second. That's the way we come to the best decisions anywhere, whether it's medical, business, you know, making a new invention. That rigorous debate and dialogue that goes back and forth among individuals is how we get to the bottom of all sorts of things. So not doing that, in my opinion, is stupid across all fronts.
Absolutely. And honestly, anyone who has practiced medicine as long as I have and who trained when I did, when it was absolutely, it was encouraged. You were supposed to argue with your colleagues and say, wait a minute, what about this? Have you tried that? Why would you think of it doing it this way? We argue in the operating room. We come up with saying, you know, no, let's think about doing it this way or
right.
that. That is how we come to the best decisions always. Never before in the history of medicine has there been a time when people have said, you can't talk about that. You can't mention that. You'll be deplatformed. You'll be ridiculed and mocked. People will come after your medical license or threaten you. When you are simply saying, wait a minute, I think this might work. I think this is something worth considering. Let's you know, investigate this option. When in the world have we benefited from squelching that, from trying to shut that down? So much now, when I hear people say even the word misinformation, the word misinformation is now synonymous with, I don't agree with what you had to say.
Right, right.
That's not what misinformation is supposed to be. When I said things, for example, I've gotten kicked off Twitter, you know, more than a few times.
Right.
I've gotten put in the penalty box, and each time was for making an absolutely irrefutable statement of fact. One time I said that hydroxychloroquine, I tweeted out that hydroxychloroquine is a medication that's been FDA approved for use in humans for 65 years. That got me kicked off. That is an absolute irrefutable statement of fact,
mm-hmm.
yet it was called misinformation. So then what happens, John, is you get, you know, that tweet gets deleted and gets put up there as, you know, this is determined to be misinformation by the nameless, faceless fact checkers who work for Jack Dorsey behind the scenes at Twitter. Then people use that that very fact that you were deplatformed or you were put mm-hmm. in the penalty box as some kind of evidence. Now a quack or a provider of misinformation, instead of actually going back and saying, well, what she said was actually true. I mean, that wasn't
right.
misinformation at all. So it's a very insidious way of undermining people's credibility when in fact there's nothing that should be undermined at all. So the people who were identified, and many of these doctors, Dr. you know, Tenpenny and certainly Robert Kennedy Jr., some other people
right.
who have opinions of their own. And frankly, one of the beauties, frankly, of the First Amendment is you have the right to be crazy. You have the right to say things that are irritating. You have right to say things that are wrong, and you have the right to say things that people disagree with. Okay? You have that right, and I'm very careful never to tell people what they should do on the air, but I think that people have the right to hear all sides of the argument and to understand this is the reality of something and to help people to maybe think and question what they're being told. People say, for example, well, the vaccines have been proven to be safe in pregnant people. I say, really? Are there studies?
Right.
Were there studies done on pregnant women? And the answer is no, there weren't. There were no studies done on pregnant women. So how anyone can say that the vaccines are safe in pregnant women, I think, is really in question. I'm not saying that they've been proven to not be safe. I'm saying they haven't been proven to be safe. And that's a big difference. So I am simply asking people to question some of the things that the federal government in particular and the mainstream media, which is a long arm of the federal government. I mean, they are essentially shills for,
right,
for the government,
right,
at this point, that you need to question some of these things. And since most people have grown up to believe, to trust, you know, authority and to trust the government, to trust public health officials, unfortunately, we are seeing an unprecedented time when they are, it's what I call therapeutic nihilism. We are not allowed to even talk about therapeutics. We are not even allowed to speak of some of these medications. And I find that very, very troubling, because that's not how we've gotten to the best decisions in medicine ever.
Is there a particular, you know, a texter texted in or trying to convince some of their, you know, friends, family, folks, they know some of the things that we're even referring to right now. And is there any area out there documentation-wise that talk about the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, being driven towards just that one narrow band of spike protein? Is, you know, where, in other words, where's the data that proves our point that that, in fact, I mean, I think the results are saying enough on its own, but where is that data located, or is it Dr. Kelly that says that?
Well, I think you can go right to the, if you go right to what the vaccine manufacturers tell you, they will tell you, I mean, it's right on the, that this, that these vaccines are created, you know, to such that, I mean, that's, they don't need to keep that secret. If you go to the vaccine manufacturer's own websites and read about the vaccines, they will tell you that this is mRNA that codes for a specific spike protein found on the surface of COVID-19. The problem is that it is a specific spike protein that found on the surface of COVID-19 that came from Wuhan 21 months ago, and that, as we well know, that variant doesn't exist anymore. It mutated away many mutations ago. And that is why you are seeing the failure here. That's why you are seeing places around the globe that are highly vaccinated, places like the UK, Ireland, Israel, Singapore, places where their vaccination rates are upwards of 98% of the population is vaccinated, and they are seeing massive outbreaks of COVID.
Right.
Because, unfortunately, that vaccine was created against a strain that isn't the strain that's any longer prevalent, and so people are coming down with COVID. And the vaccine manufacturers now, along with the CDC and the FDA, have entirely changed the narrative. It went from 95-97% effective in preventing COVID to now they say, and even if the manufacturers themselves will tell you, there is no vaccine that is in use that prevents COVID. They now acknowledge that, but they don't come out publicly. They, you know, they change what is in their literature, but nobody comes out now and says, whoops, we screwed up, people. These vaccines don't actually prevent COVID at all. You know, the best they will do is decrease your risk of having a severe outcome. And one of the things I think you and I have talked about in the past, John, is the corollary to the fact that these vaccines, if they do anything at all, decrease your symptoms of COVID. What that means is likely that the people most likely to be spreading COVID, unfortunately, are vaccinated people. This is not a pandemic of the unvaccinated, because if an unvaccinated person gets COVID, they are more likely to have symptoms and to have more severe symptoms. It's the vaccinated people who are likely to get COVID, and because of the vaccine, you're right, they have fewer symptoms, but as a result, they are the ones who end up not being home sick in bed. They're out and about.
Right. I think the other way I would explain this to anybody asking me, you know, where is this documentation that talks about that narrow band for that particular spike protein would be, why do we need boosters if it was meant for a wider variety of COVID-19 and the new variants that are coming out? Why would we need booster vaccines? I mean, or booster shots, I should say, Dr. Kelly. I mean, to me, common sense says you don't need a booster if this thing was designed for a wider band.
Well, no question. But the bottom line is the fact that it was designed against a singular spike protein is absolutely in the part, is part and parcel with the description of the vaccines themselves. They are very clear. J&J, Pfizer, Moderna are all very clear that their vaccines were created with the genetic components for you to create this singular spike protein and therefore develop antibodies to it. And that was a lousy idea from the very beginning.
That's right. All right. Golden Eagle Financial is up next. Folks, again, keep texting 307-200-8222. Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith would love to help you with your future financial plans, whatever they are. And again, it needs to be unique to you because not every financial plan is created equal. So get the right advice from Al Smith. He'd love to help you. Golden Eagle Financial, find him at klzradio.com, 303-744-1128.
In every meeting, Al Smith spends more time listening than talking. Financial advisors who push one type of product probably sell only that product. They're giving you advice based on their profits. It may not be bad advice, but it's certainly not comprehensive. Because he's not limited to asset management alone, Al offers a variety of investment vehicles to his clients, from the most conservative to the most aggressive. Al never tries to persuade his clients to choose one product over another. That's not his job. His job is to create a financial plan that fits your risk tolerance, providing a clearer picture of what your retirement will look like so you know what to expect. He does that by listening carefully. Many of Al's clients have modest assets, but have them invested wisely. Some completely protected from loss, generating income for future use. Some growing. KLZradio.com/money. Planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair folks, don't forget right now you can get four Cooper tires and up to a $70 rebate on those same tires, and that's an instant rebate. KLZradio.com, 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair takes care of their customers because they can. In order to earn the NAPA Auto Care Gold Certification, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker passed rigorous scrutiny, testing the quality of their customer service. Hundreds of legitimate Google reviews, master technicians, digital vehicle inspections. Then, COVID-19 caused delays in the supply chain and nationwide part shortages. Once again, the team at Extreme Auto Repair stepped up to the challenge. They believe you do what you can for the customer, so they're staying in touch with suppliers on a daily basis, planning ahead to stay in stock. Thanks to their long-standing relationships with vendors, they have the ability to protect their customers from supply chain issues. So they're doing it. It's the right thing to do. Call them, 303-841-1071. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises made, promises kept.
Before you sell a house, you clean up the front to maximize the sale price with curb appeal. Before you sell a business, you get organized so buyers can see their potential earnings clearly. Buyers want to purchase an investment, not a job. To make your company more attractive to a buyer, your business needs to run smoothly without you. Hire John Rush as your personal business coach before you sell to maximize your profits. Email John at RushToReason.com for one free session.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dr. Kelly Victory with me today, who, by the way, Dr. Kelly, as you said earlier, and I want to make sure that I stress this again, not that you have to counter anything that's out on the internet that talks about you or me or anybody else for that matter, but the reality is there's nothing that you've predicted all along that hasn't come true in all of this.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. It's a time when I don't take great joy in having been right, but I have said all of this from the very beginning, everything from the where did the virus actually originate, and when I first said, oh, that was many months ago, early in 2020, that this was clearly from a lab in Wuhan, not from a wet market. I mean, people said, oh, my God, I can't believe you're saying that, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. And then on from there, these things have borne out to be true. And again, I don't take any great joy in that. I just think it, people need to push back and have some degree of skepticism at this point from what is coming out, unfortunately, from the federal government on this. And this you know, clearly isn't political in my mind at all, because let's face it, this happened under the Trump administration. So this is not a political statement. I am not saying this is, you know, Democrat or Republican. I'm saying you need to question the stuff that's coming out of the federal government. You need to look at people's ulterior motives and largely follow the money and follow the corruption. And I think that people need to be asking a lot of questions.
All right. One other thing, too, and I just know this. In fact, Texter is saying that, hey, one of the hardest individuals in this person's life is, family members that are either nurses and or doctors, because they just seem to, quote unquote, know it all and are not willing to listen to anything that counters what they've been, you know, taught and or told through all of this. And Dr. Kelly, I don't have a lot of advice for folks like that, because in my own dealings in the past, and I'll just tell you straight up that some of my worst clients, even fixing cars, were in fact doctors and nurses, because no offense, they seem to know everything and you couldn't hardly tell them or teach them anything, especially surgeons. And I'm just being straight up honest. Surgeons were my worst customers ever, because frankly, they knew it all and I couldn't convince them of anything otherwise. And no, they're not always right.
No, and believe me, I feel your pain. It's been one of the most difficult things for me of this entire pandemic, has been witnessing the sort of fugue state that so many of my colleagues appear to be in. There's a level of intellectual incuriosity and laziness that mm-hmm. really has happened. Physicians are not reading the studies themselves. When I ask them, have you actually read the studies? Because I have. Regardless, if you want to disagree with me, disagree with me, but let's disagree on substance. Let's argue. If you want to disagree that I've misinterpreted the data, or that I've misunderstood the conclusion of a particular study, or that I didn't find the flaw in the data analysis and you did, great. Let's have that argument. But let's fight on and disagree on substance. If you go to the website that I'm associated with, earlycovidcare.org, we have posted now 89 studies, not one, not two. 89 studies documenting the power and the existence of natural immunity, documenting the blood levels of ongoing T cell and B cell immunity following natural infection with COVID. 89 studies. We have a multitude of studies showing all the things I'm talking about here, not just from one institution, but these are from really rarefied air. These come from the premier academic institutions, most of them wildly liberal, by the way. Places like the University of California at Davis that just documented what I was talking about, that there is, quote, no significant difference in the amount of virus in the noses and throats of vaccinated versus unvaccinated people when they get COVID. So look at the data, and the fact that doctors and nurses and people in healthcare have turned a blind eye to that and somehow have drunk the Kool-Aid, to use your verbiage, is really scary to me. It used to be that doctors prided themselves and, you know, in actually going and doing the research on their own. I fear now that they are all getting their information off of Google and CNN and wherever else, you know, YouTube or something, which is truly a scary thing, because these people sat next to me in immunology and virology class, but they seem to have forgotten the very basics.
I agree. And, you know, let me just move on. Got another question that came in. Have you researched or have any opinions on baking soda and salt mix, gargling daily, you know, to the pH 9, if you would, so getting the water to pH 9 and then gargling with that to reduce, any type of viruses, colds, things like that? Is there, and that's something I know nothing about, Dr. Kelly, I've never tried it. Is there anything to that?
Well, I haven't researched it. I can tell you that it's sort of an old time treatment for sore throats and that sort of thing, is gargling with salt water. There's absolutely no question that some very simple things like gargling with certain mouthwashes, specifically Colgate and Scope, where the active ingredient in those mouthwashes is cetylpyridinium, which is a very good virucidal. It kills viruses of all sorts. And again, not just COVID, but common colds. So I have no reason to believe that gargling with something like, you know, warm salt water and baking soda probably does have some virucidal and, incidentally, bactericidal effects. I haven't seen any studies on it on COVID itself, but some of the most basic things, which, as again, goes back to what we were talking about in the last hour with Steve, pretty basic stuff to supplement vitamin D and vitamin C. We have a multitude of studies documenting that low vitamin D levels are strongly associated with a poor outcome from COVID. If you simply get your vitamin D levels above 60 milligrams or nanograms, excuse me, per milliliter, above a level of 60, just getting it up to that level decreases your risk of contracting COVID by 50%. All of these studies are on that website, earlycovidcare.org, if you're looking for sort of ammunition to argue back to people. So doing the most basic things, a simple, you know, swishing with mouthwash, can't hurt, and you'll end up with fresh breath. So, you know, you might avoid COVID. Supplementing vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, these sorts of things, this isn't rocket science. This is a virus, and a relatively simple virus at that. If you want to look at vaccines and continue to work on those, that's fine. What bothers me is the singular focus on vaccines to the exclusion of all things you would normally be telling patients. Since when do we not educate patients about the most simple things you can do? We don't start with napalm, generally. We generally start with the simple things. And why we aren't doing that with this particular pandemic, that, John, is what gives me pause.
Me too.
That's what leads me to really ask these questions.
Yeah, and again, I've got text messages coming in basically saying that, you know, you can pretty much tell what side of the party lines you're on and whether you're a Christian or not by where you stand when it comes to, you know, vaccines and things like that. Well, Dr. Kelly, I also know some folks on the other side of the aisle that are very skeptical about what's going on. So I don't think it's very fair to say that just because you're against the way these things are being done right now, that you're a Christian or a Republican or a conservative or anything along those lines. By the way, I know some conservatives that feel, and some Christians that feel very strongly, that you should be taking the vaccine, have gotten the vaccine themselves. And you know what? More power to them. I'm probably the ultimate skeptic in all of this right now because I guess maybe because I've been so close to this thing all along from the early stages of when this thing, you know, hit the world and started to hit the world in December of 2019. And then, of course, it came across the pond and it ended up over here around the end of February of 2020. And being on air and watching this stuff daily and watching the responses to this throughout that entire time, Dr. Kelly, that's what's given me the most pause in all of this. Not because of where I stand, you know, politically or where my faith is. I'm just looking at this on a common sense level saying, wait a minute, time out. We've never, ever in the history of this country handled things like this the way we are now. To me, that alone is enough to say, wait a minute, stand back and watch what's going on. This doesn't make any sense.
Precisely correct. The other thing is I would say that the concepts and the constructs of, number one, informed consent, and number two, medical autonomy are sacrosanct. The idea that you have a right as an individual to make an informed consent for what is right for you and to have control over ultimately what happens. It doesn't matter what I as a doctor advise you to do. I can inform you, but ultimately it is up to you to make that decision. Furthermore, we have never, and we never do, ask people to take untold personal risk for the benefit of others.
Right.
We don't do that,
right.
Okay? We don't tell people, you get vaccinated to protect yourself. It can protect others with certain vaccines. We don't tell you to wear a seatbelt to protect the guy in the car next to you.
No.
Okay? We ask people to do things that are in their best interest, and we don't ask people to take risks, untold risk, for the benefit of others. Somebody sent me a screenshot of a placard that came from the UK. I think it actually came from Ireland, that was listing for people the potential side effects of the vaccine and saying, you know, thank you for doing your part in getting vaccinated for the, quote, the good of the community. And then it listed the potential side effects from the vaccines, the last one of which was sudden death. Well, since when do we ask people to participate in something that isn't in their best interest, that has a potential risk of sudden death because it's good for the community? I mean, this
we don't.
This is, to talk about this as unprecedented is, you know, the understatement of the century.
Well, and I still go back to Dr. Kelly, and you and I have talked about this, you know, a ton, and I'm going to continue to. It's one of those things I look at on virtually a daily basis, and that's the data of those, you know, of the caseloads themselves, you know, people that, you know, actually end up with COVID, and then the data of deaths. And the reality is neither one of those, even to this day, and by the way, all the way through this pandemic, quote unquote, have really justified the responses that we've actually given this thing across the board. And I had somebody text in earlier and said, if we had just done what Sweden had done, would we be in a lot better shape today? Well, the reality is probably, but we didn't, so it doesn't make any difference at this point anyways. And the other thing I keep looking at, Dr. Kelly, is, you know, I guess because of the amount of exposure that I have with listeners, and then I've got coaching clients all across the country, and, you know, I just hear different stories from different people across the country. If you get a vaccine, first of all, you're not immune from getting COVID. You're not immune from having some heavy side effects from COVID. And by the way, it doesn't keep you from having it more than once, because I know people right now that have COVID that have had it prior. And by the way, the ones that I know that are having it a second time are not the unvaccinated, but the vaccinated. And I can prove that through people I know.
There's no question. And again, I think that people also need to look at really the bigger picture. And it's hard because so much of what they are presented with by the media is with, again, with this attempt to keep people in a state of panic and to keep people very frightened, with the end game being that you will go out finally and concede and get vaccinated. This virus is real. I am not a virus denier. There's no question that there are certain people who can become very ill from it. But the reality is, the virus is real. The statistics are not.
Right.
There's been a massive overstatement in the number of people who have supposedly died from COVID. That is a fact.
Yes.
It not only has been blurred by the fact that we didn't report out for the past 20 months any cases of influenza or pneumonia, and everything was lumped in as COVID. It goes way beyond that. There are people, the way that they coded COVID deaths was anybody who incidentally tested positive for COVID and died, regardless of if their symptoms, if their death was even vaguely related to COVID.
Right.
People who died of heart attacks and strokes,
right,
and complications, right, of cancer and diabetes, trauma.
Murder victims. I mean, Dr.
Death.
Kelly,
yes,
we've got
correct.
a Democrat coroner up in Grand County that was questioning the things you just said. I'm going to say it again. A Democrat coroner from Grand County that was questioning the very same things you're talking about right now, and has literally thrown a fit about what you're saying. And this is someone from the other side, because she saw a murder victim end up getting marked down COVID death, even though the person was murdered.
Precisely. That's what I'm saying. This is not hyperbole. This is the God's truth, and we've seen it across the country, John, and it's wrong, and it was largely driven by financial incentives.
That's right.
The CARES Act gave tremendous amounts of money to hospitals and hospital systems to help support them through this pandemic, and hospitals got tens of thousands of dollars per admission, if it was written down as a COVID admission, and nearly $40,000 additional money per, quote, COVID death.
Right.
So they were highly motivated to write something down and say, yeah, this guy died of diabetes, but incidentally, he did have a positive nasal swab for COVID,
right,
had no symptoms, but, you know, came back positive. So we'll write that down as a COVID death and collect. And unfortunately, this has gone on all across the country. So largely, part of the problem is that the public, and I feel for them, it's very difficult, unless you are like me and you spend your entire day, your entire week, 7 days a week, going through this data, combing the information from the adverse event website, looking through the CDC's numbers and figuring out what's real and what's not real. It's really tough. And you get the idea that, oh my God, everybody's, you know, sick, everybody's dying. You have to go back and remember, this started as, you know, 2 weeks we're going to do this,
right,
2 weeks to
flatten 2 weeks slow the spread.
Okay? You were led to believe that hospitals were bursting at the seams. Well, the reality is that didn't happen. In
right.
Denver itself, Denver outfitted the convention center to the tunes of tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh,
by
millions
the way.
Of dollars. Never millions of dollars.
Yeah. Never saw a patient.
Right.
Not one patient ever
right.
went there.
That's
the,
right.
The you know, the ship that was parked off the coast, the East Coast, you know, because we desperately needed
yep.
beds, you know, because they were going to be over. Not a patient, not a COVID patient went to that ship. And this is, the reality is, this has been overblown. Not the virus, I'm not saying the virus isn't real, and I'm not saying people haven't died. But you can't make good decisions if the information that's being fed to you is nonstop fear-mongering, nonstop
right.
fear porn, and people are led to believe that their risk from the virus is way higher than it is, and that the risks from things like the vaccine are way lower than they in fact are, and that the safety testing has somehow been done. And that's really where I have a problem with this. So
yes,
we have got to get people more information.
Yes, and I want to add some things to what you just said as well. And also, when we start seeing freedoms taken away, we see governments become very tyrannical. I mean, on and on we go, Dr. Kelly. Again, like you, I'm not saying COVID's not real. It is. I'm not saying that, you know, some folks shouldn't get a vaccine. I'm not saying that Trump shouldn't have started what he did, although I'm not really sure that I agree with every step of the way that all that, you know, the way all that went. And I said some of that even back then. You know, I'll call out things that aren't correct all along, no matter what side of the aisle that I'm on. But when we've given up and we've allowed government to take away the freedoms that we've literally that we've spent lives gaining over the years, over the past 250 plus years, Dr. Kelly, to me, that's where I have an issue with all that's going on. Not that COVID's not real, it is. But when we start taking freedoms away because of the health of a society, all in the name of, I should say, public health, we have problems.
Well, so I would love, John, to actually have a sit down with somebody like an Anthony Fauci or Rochelle Walensky and say, explain the rationale of this to me. Now that we've proven, and everybody acknowledges, I think everybody now acknowledges that the vaccines don't keep you from contracting COVID.
Right.
Everyone agrees with that.
Right.
Everyone acknowledges now that the vaccines don't keep you from spreading COVID, if you get it.
That's right.
So you can, vaccinated or unvaccinated, you can catch COVID, you can get sick with it, you can spread it, and you can die from it. Given that that is now irrefutable fact, what is the possible justification, scientifically, ethically, morally, however, for discriminating
yeah.
between vaccinated and unvaccinated
That's right.
people?
That's right.
What? You are threatening people with their livelihoods.
That's correct.
You're threatening people's ability to pay their mortgage and feed their children. You are. There are leagues of youth firefighters, police officers, nurses, doctors, teachers leaving their jobs because they're saying, I'm not getting this vaccine. And each of them
yep.
has their own individual reasons. But once you have determined those things, we all acknowledge that there's no difference in the ability to contract or spread or get sick from the virus based on your
That's right.
your vaccination status.
That's right.
How can you possibly continue this?
Amen. I'll leave it
oh.
at that. No, that's a great. That's a great ending. Dr. Kelly Victory, again, anything else you need, go to our website, rushtoreason.com. All of our podcasts are there. There's a page dedicated to Dr. Kelly Victory, and a lot of the information she's given out today, the links of that are on that page as well. Dr. Kelly, we'll just keep doing it. That's all we can do is just keep informing people and you know, get the word out. That's all we can do.
Thanks as always, John.
I appreciate it, Dr. Kelly. Thank you very much. With that, folks, American National Insurance is up next. Paul Leuenberger, my agent. Give him a call today. Anything you need, he'd love to help you out. 303-662-0789.
Your teenager is your biggest financial risk. You buy Reliable Auto Insurance in part to protect yourself from financial loss in case you get in a wreck with large repair expenses for your own vehicle. But you also buy Reliable Auto Insurance to protect yourself from lawsuits. Now, you might not think you make enough money to be at risk of getting sued, but you do have a teenager who drives your car. Let's pose a little scenario that we heard from a real KLZ listener. Your granddaughter is driving your car and gets in a major wreck. You do have auto insurance, but it's not enough coverage. You only had the state minimums. So the other person's insurance company comes after you personally for everything they can get. For years afterward, part of your paycheck goes towards paying someone else's bills. With the right coverage, this could have been avoided. Get the auto coverage you need from Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance. Call 303-662-0789. 303-662-0789.
Hey folks, Roof Max is next. And yes, Dave can rejuvenate your current roof, but he can do so much more as well. He works on commercial roofs, flat roofs, even on a residential roof. I mean, you name it, extra gutters that need added, downspouts, you name it. Whatever your roof needs to just get things handled correctly, that's what Dave does, including the rejuvenation of your current asphalt shingles. Find Dave online at our website, rushtoreason.com/roof.
Roof Max is the fountain of life for your roof and will bring your shingles back to life. The natural oils in the asphalt protect your roof as weather and temperature cause the material to expand and contract daily. This oil gradually evaporates over time, causing your shingles to dry out and lose their flexibility. You may start to see your shingles cracking, breaking, streaking, and curling. Granules may begin flaking off. Roof Max could reverse minor curling, cracking, and granule loss to make your shingles like new again. The water-soluble plant-based treatment extends the life of your roof by at least 5 years, guaranteed. Call Dave Hart now for a free assessment of your asphalt shingles. 303-710-6916. He will go anywhere from the eastern slope to the eastern Colorado border and from Cheyenne to the southern border. Mention Rush to Reason for $100 off your treatment. 303-710-6916.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. A couple of minutes left of this hour is all. And again, I want to give a special thanks to Steve House, Dr. Kelly Victory for joining us. And as I said before she left a moment ago, and I get this question a lot, anything that you would like to know when it comes to Dr. Kelly, we've linked all of the articles, the different things that she's involved in from our website, rushtoreason.com. There's a page there under our show notes that links right to Dr. Kelly. We've dedicated an entire page to her. We also added Kevin Flesch, our legal end of things, into that page as well. So if you've got any questions legally speaking, of course, Dr. Kelly doesn't do that. She would refer you to Kevin Flesch. Also, as you've heard Dr. Kelly say many, many times, she is not your attending physician, so she cannot give you direct medical advice on what you should or shouldn't be doing when it comes to your own medical care. Neither can I. Now, are there some generalities and things that a lot of us can be doing, as she said today, when it comes to preventing getting COVID and or if you get it, making it that much less of a burden to you and that much, you know, that much less of a factor in your life? Of course you can, and that is also on the website as well. So again, go to rushtoreason.com, check out all the things we have with Dr. Kelly there. It's really easy. And then, as I said earlier, when it comes to our podcast, a lot of you subscribe to different services, Stitcher, Apple, and so on. What I would recommend you do, though, is go right to the website, rushtoreason.com, go to the SoundCloud section that's on the main page, click the link there, load or download, whatever you want to do, listen live or download the podcast from there. Seems like some of the players lately are having some issues playing some of our content on certain days. And what I would tell you to do is take it right from the SoundCloud website. And you can always go to soundcloud.com/rushtoreason or even do a search under SoundCloud for Rush to Reason and find it there as well. Kurt Rogers coming up next, Affordable Interest Mortgage. We do this once a month. We're going to talk about mortgages, houses, housing market. What are interest rates doing? You name it. That's all next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.